and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever Infernal Legion podcast. Before we even get started, I want to give a big shout out to Radio Free Satan for having us and giving us this platform and opportunity. I am Jeff Bowling. I'm a warlock in the Church of Satan, and I am the national commander for the Infernal Legion. With me, and will be with me every month, is my co-host, Dwayne Burns. Dwayne, why don't you tell the fine folks about yourself?
Hey, Jeff, thanks. Name's Dwayne Burns. I am a first-degree Satanist in the Church of Satan. I was in the Army for 23 years, and my basic function here is going to be to help vets with their compensation paperwork, their disability compensation, and general benefits questions and answers, basically.
Right on, right on. And with us, as always, is our producer, director, tech extraordinaire, and just generally the greatest living human being on the planet, Warlock Jeff Ivins. Jeff, introduce yourself to the folks.
Hey, this is Warlock Jeff Ivins. Sat there, did 8.5 years in the Navy, cryptologist, computer, all-around computer geek, and also I do other podcasts and other shows for and stuff like that. I'm mainly the webmaster and do a lot of the technical support for the Infernal Legion. So back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough for what you both do for this organization. But speaking of this organization, I'm sure a lot of people might be listening to this going, what the hell is the Infernal Legion? So we're going to tell you. That's what this episode is all about, is explaining to you, the fine listeners, what the Infernal Legion is and what we are doing. Now, as both of my esteemed colleagues mentioned, they're both vets, Jeff in the Navy and Dwayne in the Army. I was also in the Army for 8 years. A few years ago, to beginning of 2017, I was approached by another Satanist, Raul Otondo, said he wanted to do something interesting for veterans in the Church of Satan. So we started brainstorming and talking about it, and we came up with the idea of forming what is the first, and as far as I know, the only, Satanic Veterans Service Organization. And that is what the Infernal Legion is. Now, you may be asking yourself, what is a Veterans Service Organization? Well, a VSO, for short, is groups like the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, AMVETS, so on and so forth. Where we come into play is that we specifically gear our organization towards helping those veterans who identify as Satanists. As defined by Anton Zandor LaVey in the Satanic Bible. These Satanic veterans, very similar to other organizations which focus on, for instance, the Jewish American veterans and things of that nature, often feel underrepresented or that they don't have the kind of camaraderie with their fellow vets that maybe, for example, two Christian veterans would have with each other. The fact of the matter is, when you look at the organization of the Church of Satan, there is a huge number of vets in this organization. Many of us served, and some of us served at the same time and in the same places with each other. So, that is the gap that the Infernal Legion is filling. I'm really proud of what we're working on, and right now we're in a push to get to the next level of our organization. And what that next level is to get our footprint and our name out there bigger. We're going to be offering merchandise, formalizing the membership process, and all around kind of creating a meeting house for Satanic veterans around the world. As soon as we started the organization, these two fine gentlemen that I'm on this podcast with jumped at the opportunity to be a part of it. So, Dwayne, why don't you tell us what got you interested in this organization?
Can you hear him, Dwayne? Yes, we're still working out the technical difficulties for those listeners. So, Dwayne, what was the motivation to get you involved? Oh, he's fixing something.
The joys of podcasting.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. He's trying to figure out what's going on. Well, let me go ahead and say the reason why I did it. The reason I got involved with the Infernal Legion is I'm a member of two different VSOs, but they're more Christian-based. I'm not. I want something more to do with who I was, who I am. And I've run into a couple Satanists through my military career that identified as Satanist, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to get involved with something that has a lot of good information and helpfulness.
Very cool. Dwayne, are you with us? Can you hear us now?
Don't think so.
I don't think you can. All right, well, until we get him back, we'll move on to the purpose of the podcast in general. The reason that we're doing this and are going to be doing this every month is to discuss veterans issues, and specifically those veterans issues that affect members of the Church of Satan or Satanists, even if they're not members of the COS. We're going to be highlighting our various Infernal Legionnaires. Anyone is familiar with the Church of Satan or Satanists in general knows that Satanists are the busiest people on the planet. We've always got something cooking on the back burner. So what we're going to be doing every month is highlighting an individual Legionnaire. We might even have them on as a guest. We'll see. And telling you where you can find out about their artwork or their music or their writing or whatever it is that they're involved in. We're also going to be discussing veterans or news that affects veterans directly. And we're going to be doing that later in this episode, pretty soon, actually. But, and then on top of that, we'll be obviously promoting ourselves and putting out what we're doing and ways that we're trying to raise money to continue doing this. So before we get into the news segment of this podcast, I do want to, not necessarily toot our own horn, but like I said, we got started in 2017 and we've been working with a very limited budget and a very small base to begin with. And with those resources, we've been able to help several vets make disability claims with the VA. We've helped two specific veterans fight legal battles with the military. And we've also helped a veteran find housing. And that's what we've been able to do with almost nothing. Now that we're coming up and getting better, we're going to be able to do even more. And it looks like Dwayne is back with us. So,
I've been here. I've been just trying to work out some technical stuff here. first podcast, still trying to get the kinks out of everything. And I apologize for that.
Oh, no worries. So I was saying, if you could tell the people what it was about the Infernal Legion that interested you and why you wanted to get involved.
I belong to each and every one of the organizations that are out there. The AMVETS, the American Legion, the VFW, Veterans of Foreign War, and the Purple Heart. And something that I am finding out a lot, and I think other people may be finding out, is that these organizations are made up of a lot of people that just don't think the same way that I do and don't do the same things the same way as I do. I don't put the organizations down at all. They do a lot of great work. That isn't at all the purpose that of what I'm saying. It's just I found that there's a lot of old fuddy-duddies there that just, they take one look at me, and if any of you have seen me in real life, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I walk in with the long hair that's down to the middle of my back, beard down to the middle of my chest, and they look at me and say, my God, how'd this guy ever get in the military? Or when was he ever in the military? You know, what kind of vet is this guy, you know? So I belong to those organizations. I've been an officer in those organizations. But I'm looking for an organization that I can put my all into and feel that what I'm doing is accomplishing something and isn't being looked at, you know, by a certain crowd that's over the side going, you know? So that's basically my attraction.
Yeah, Yeah, that makes sense. And that's, you know, for people that are listening who aren't veterans, they don't often understand that the type of mentality that we have when we walk out of service, or even if we're still in, there is a natural brotherhood or sisterhood, depending on that, with each other that we naturally feel. There's also a lot of shit talking. There's a lot of rabble rousing, and there's a lot of drinking. but we all generally do care about each other. And we want to help each other. And in fact, one of the phrases, the sayings that gets thrown around quite frequently in vet circles is we have to look out for each other because God knows they won't do it for us. And they won't. You know, with the VA, if you don't stay on the VA, they're never going to help you. If you don't stay on the government, they're never going to pass bills that support us. But at the same time, there is these little divisions amongst veterans. And one of those big divisions, especially amongst retired or separated veterans, is unfortunately religion. And it's something that can't be helped. I mean, it's just the tribal nature of humanity. But at the same time, it's something that we can take care of ourselves. So if we're not going to be fully accepted at the VFW or at the American Legion or wherever, we'll start our own damn group. And that's exactly what we did. All right. So since we don't have a Legionnaire of the Month for this month that we want to highlight, I want to take a moment and just turn this spotlight over to our producer, Jeff Ivins. And why don't you tell us about some of the work you're doing with the Sea Cadets, Scott?
Oh, please. Basically, I've been involved with the Sea Cadets for, 5 years now. And I'm currently the training officer for the Sea Cadet unit I'm with. I don't let my religion out, but I do help them with learning responsibility, responsible, and other things that, you know, fit the Satanist mentality, but at the same time, not making it about Satanism, making it about, I mean, the majority of the cadets we've got are Christian based, but I don't bring any of that into it. So, but no, it's a good program if you're into helping the youth out. Get in with the Sea Cadets. The mentality is the same as if you were just in the military.
I think we lost you there right at the end, Jeff.
Okay.
But if you guys are curious about that barking in the background, that's not a dog. It's actually Dwayne's parrot, and we are currently trying to teach it how to say Hail Satan, but it's obviously not working, as you can tell. But yeah, so
Jeff, is the barking coming through that prominent? I mean,
is it? Yes, it is.
Wow. That's my studio mic I've got here. I mean, sorry about that. Just for educational purposes for me, Jeff, those and then this is Jay Nothing Jeff I'm talking to.
Okay.
We're gonna have to do something about this, Jeff and Jeff. If I refer to Lou, guys, I'm referring to Warlock Bowling. If I'm talking to Jay Nothing or Jeff, I'm talking to Mr. Ivins.
Okay.
Warlock Ivins. But Sea Cadets, are those like, see, I'm not familiar. It's the first time I'd heard of it a couple years ago when you started showing it on, you know, some of the Facebook posts and whatnot. I know as a kid I was part of the Civil Air Patrol. Would that be something equivalent to that, only as a Navy?
Basically, the Sea Cadets are actually backed by the Department of the Navy.
As the Civil Air Patrol is their search and rescue.
Yes.
And that's the Air Force.
And the actual Sea Cadets actually wear the military uniforms, just modified to be with... Man, that bird is getting loud.
I think that parrot is mad we're not drinking more rum right now.
Probably. But no, the Sea Cadets wear the uniform of the Navy, and they actually turn around and they modify it to signify that they're actual Sea Cadets and not actual Navy personnel.
Are you gonna be able to edit this, Jeff?
I won't be able to take the bird out.
No. Trevor!
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us. For we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on Satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might!
Hail Satan, full of might!
Our allegiance is with thee! Cursed are they!
Cursed are they!
The God adorers! And cursed are the worshippers
of the Nazarene eunuch.
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Take a trip back to the 1980s with me, Warlock Jeff Ivins, on the Metro Radio Free Satan's show, highlighting the new wave and other hits from the indulgent decade, only on RadioFreeSatan.com.
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satanae, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satanae has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Talis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satanae, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan!
The podcast you are listening to is brought to you through Radio Free Satan. To get the new episodes of this show downloaded automatically to your PC or mobile device, you can subscribe to this podcast and your other Radio Free Satan shows too by using iTunes or Stitcher or other subscription means. To find out how, go to RadioFreeSatan.com and visit the individual page for this program, where you'll find the subscription links for iTunes, Stitcher, and more under Subscribe. You can also rate and review the program on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for your support of Radio Free Satan, and now back to the show.
Do me a favor, take that Barkey bitch and put her in the coffin. I've got a room with a full coffin in it. My house is over 7,000 square feet, Jeff.
Let me just say, and when you say put that bird in the coffin, I'm not thinking of shutting it up. I think you're trying to shut it up.
No, I said put that bitch in the coffin. I'm in a room with a full coffin in it. I'm still working on the interior of the coffin, putting all the bedding and stuff in it. I got a cool coffin here.
Yeah.
All right. So, and go.
Go.
How did you get involved in the Sea Cadets? Like, is it just one of your old Navy buds, or what happened there?
No, actually what happened was the American Legion post that I'm a member of got asked to see if they wanted to sponsor a Sea Cadet unit, and I got asked before they had their first drill if I wanted to get involved, and The actual commanding officer is a medically retired Marine who he only served like a couple of years in the Marines, but it's a real good organization, and you know, I've been with it for 5 years, and it's one of the longest things I've been involved in for a long time.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's the same thing the Civil Air Patrol has. They're good. They got a great mission. They do search and rescue. That's their main mission. And getting involved as an adult, I mean, you go through as a senior member, you come in second lieutenant, first lieutenant, captain. They teach you how to fly, everything. Kids, you want something for your kids to get involved. And I know I'm getting a little off subject here, but you want something for your kids to get involved with, his sea cadets, you know, if you're by the ocean, I guess, or Great Lakes, or, you know, but Civil Air Patrol's a great thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not a lot of people, I don't think, understand kind of not just what they actually do, like with Civil Air Patrol, sea cadets, even the junior ROTC programs at like high schools and stuff, but When you go into the military, that first day at boot camp is it's a shock to your system, mm-hmm. and anything that you can do to prepare for that is wonderful. I mean, these kids can go, if they decide to, they can go in and enlist or go to ROTC in college, and they can come into the military with a better understanding of how it works.
Right. Well, like I say, what's nice about the CAP is. You get a uniform, an Air Force uniform. It's from many years ago, but I mean, you get a Class A uniform, you get a set of greens, they put you through the ranks, and what you do is you take book tests. Yeah. And this kid got his Airman First Class, he got his Airman First Class, now he's a Sergeant. They take you all the way up to Master Sergeant, and then you take a test called the Billy Mitchell Test. Anybody who's enlisted in the service has been asked, have you had the Billy Mitchell Test, or the Amelia Earhart, or the Spots Test? Mm-hmm. And those are officer tests for cadets in the Civil Air Patrol. If your child goes through and becomes a first lieutenant, flight officer, and then first lieutenant, but first lieutenant, or god damn it, second lieutenant, excuse me, a butter bar. They're just a spot, but.
You know, what's hilarious about this is Dwayne hasn't even been drinking today.
Not yet.
But you get that Billy Mitchell Award, you go to basic training, you, for the real military, you go in as an
E3. Yeah.
Right, off the bat.
That's the way Sea Cadets is. If you go in the Navy or the Coast Guard, if you attain E3 in the Sea Cadets, when you come out of boot camp, you're automatically an E3.
It is the Civil Air Patrol. I mean, like I say, they've got all their ranks. You go up through Master Sergeant, then you become an officer. But before you can become an officer, you have to go through a 2-week, 2-week summer boot camp, which is a real boot camp. You get fucked over by all your peers that are officers and sergeants. They teach you how to march, teach you how to do push-ups, teach you how to do all that shit, drill and ceremony. It's good shit. I got a little off subject talking about this and asking about his sea cadets, but it's good information. It gives us something to talk about.
Yep. I one time had the opportunity to go with my stepdaughter at the time, with my ex-wife. I had the opportunity to do a drill-off with her ROTC unit in high school. And it was hilarious because these are just high school punk kids, you know what I mean? But we're walking around, and they had active military members from the local Air Force base that was there, a bunch of vets like myself, and they also even brought in some drill sergeants from the Army. And we were walking around, staring these kids in the face, trying to spook them out or whatever, and it was so much easier than it is when you're dealing with someone who's actually like active duty in the military. All you have to do is flinch a little bit, and they fall out of formation. For our listeners again who aren't vets and don't know what the hell we're talking about, a drill off is basically when you do a bunch of drill and ceremony maneuvers in a formation, and people are walking around kicking you out based on what you screw up. Until there's only one person left, and then they win whatever prize. I think our prize was like a Pizza Hut gift card or something like that.
Yeah, sea cadets, and the sea cadets, we call that a knockout drill.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Basically, they stand, and you can do left face, right face, and if somebody says left fish, and somebody turns, they're out.
So, I guess one final topic before we move on to news. I'm just going to throw this out. Dwayne, we'll go with you, and then with Jeff. What about the military most changed you permanently? Like, what do you live with the most?
What do I live with the most? I live with my experiences over in Iraq the most. What probably changed me the most was, you know, I went in at the age of 17, and I was an unruly kid. Maybe not unruly, but I just didn't agree with all the stuff. I mean, I knew when I was late teens, you know, I had already read the Satanic Bible and everything, and had already gone that direction. And being raised in a Christian family, going from Baptist to Catholic to this to that, depending on what guy my mom was with and what day it was. You know, I just wasn't dealing with it, and I was kicked out of the house when I was a kid at the age of 16, and I wasn't surviving. I mean, I was living off people's good graces. My friends would sneak me in at night, allow me to spend the night, and then wake up the next morning, and their parents would think I was there to pick their kid up to go to school. So I went in the Army at the age of 17. That's why I got so many years in. And, I mean, I stayed all that time because I had no training or nothing, no outside school. Hell, when I went in, I was allowed to go in without a high school diploma with the condition that I complete my high school GED before I went to AIT, my advanced individual training, my job skill training for the Army. So, I mean, I guess going in changed my attitude life-wise, but Iraq is probably what sticks with me the most, my experiences there, the various experiences I had, my injuries, being injured over there, things like that.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff?
Well, I was raised in a military family. My father was active duty. So, you know, kind of like, I'll join the Navy. The Air Force couldn't guarantee me something. The Army couldn't guarantee me something. Marines definitely couldn't guarantee me anything. And I didn't want to be a 0311 in the Marines, so which is infantryman. But I joined the Navy, and generally it was the type of experience I could have coasted through without a problem if somebody didn't let the company commander know that I was the son of a chief, which is an E-7 in the Navy. And as soon as that happened, then boot camp went to hell. But most of the stuff that I deal with is like when that one frigate got ran over a mine. You know, I was, you know, back in 88, I was on crew, I was on deployment then, Desert Storm, those things stick with you.
I very similar to Dwayne. I was not an Army brat growing up, but yeah, I was a troublemaker kid a little bit. I also took care of my own shit at the same time. So it was weird. It was a weird in between, because like Dwayne, I read the Satanic Bible early on in life and realized that that's who I was. So yeah. I was applying some of those principles, but you know how it is. You get stuck in phase one sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah. So when I hit 17, I did the delayed entry program, just like Dwayne did.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's what they call it now. For me, it was weird. Like I never, my father wasn't around when I was growing up, and I don't bear him any ill will for that. I had plenty of male figures in my life to help show me the way, but I felt like I needed something to say to myself that it's time to, you know, like, okay, now you're an adult, now you're a fucking man, you know? And the military provided the fastest and best option for that. And then I just stuck around for 8 years.
I just stuck around.
Well, the thing about it is, what you were in high school when you read the Satanic Bible, right?
I was in middle school, actually.
Middle school? Okay. Because I was 10th grade in high school when I read it, and it just resonated with me.
My brother and sister's father, my stepfather, who my mother is no longer with, I read the Satanic Bible when he was in the Navy. I know Jeff said earlier, I don't know if he didn't say I had a military background or military upbringing or not. I think he said I didn't have one, but yeah, my stepfather was in the Navy, and he'd be out to sea 6 months at a time, 9 months at a time, it would seem. And when he would, the standard practice was he would walk through the door, he'd have his sea bag with him, he'd throw it on the floor, him and mom would go to the bedroom to fuck, and the bag was there for us to go through because he had gifts and shit in there.
Or he had stopped that, I'm sure.
And he'd come in, he threw his bag down, grabbed up mom, they went to the bedroom and opened up the bag, and there was a Satanic Bible in there. And I just picked it out, didn't know what the fuck it was. And from my limited understanding, I think I was 9 or 10 years old, but from my limited understanding, I just sat there, thumbed through it, read through it, asked him about it, and he's like, shh, your mom will fucking kill me. And, you know, I picked it up later on in life, but that was my first exposure to it, was my stepfather bringing it home in his sea bag.
If I had to pick, I guess, one thing that kind of stuck with me, I mean, there's a lot of memories, good and bad.
You're cutting out again, Jeff.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
There we go. There are a lot of experiences, both good and bad, from deployments and things like that. But I think the one thing, and I spoke this on another podcast I was on, the one thing that stuck with me the most is the eating habits. I eat fast as fuck everywhere. Even if it's good food, even if I'm enjoying it, that's just the one thing that's never left from my time in the military.
Yeah, that's true.
Inhale your meal and taste it later.
Exactly.
All right, so let's move on to the news segment. So for those of you who are, you know, listening to this and wondering how we're going to handle this, this is not a political discussion. We're going to do our best to stay away from any type of political ideology. All three of us agree and disagree on a great many things when it comes to politics, as do any Satanists and any vets that are out there. But these we're going to select a few articles every month that we're going to talk about, which highlight issues that are affecting veterans, what the government is doing to either correct those issues, or just highlight special people who have been recognized for something. And we're going to start with one of those stories. About 2 days ago, at the time we were recording this, Staff Sergeant Belavia, and I'm sure I'm butchering that name, Belavia, became the first living soldier from the war in Iraq to receive the Medal of Honor. And it was a very impactful ceremony. And he gave a great speech afterwards. But so for those of you who are not familiar with his story, in 2004, he was in Fallujah, Iraq, and he was a squad leader, and his squad was pinned down, and the insurgents were shooting at them from a fortified house down the street, basically. So for those of you not familiar with Fallujah, is just a big city in Iraq. So there's a lot of urban combat going on there. He took it upon himself to single-handedly flank and move to the enemy position. At the end of the day, he killed 4 insurgents and injured 1 very badly in this home. At the time, he was awarded a Silver Star for his actions. I mean, this is some hardcore stuff that this guy did, and he did it by himself, just to save the lives of his men, which is pretty damn impressive. But they gave him a Silver Star, and then just like I said, a couple days ago, it was upgraded to the Medal of Honor, which again makes him the only living Medal of Honor recipient from the war in Iraq. And part of the story that strikes me is the awards thing. Now, any vet will tell you that we don't do what we do for the pretty little pins that they put on your chest for doing it. But this is a problem that I saw constantly. Jeff is showing his giant rack of pretty ribbons.
Well, they're military and sea cadet ribbons.
I was going to say that last three rows down there didn't look military issue.
No.
After the Kuwaiti Liberation Medal Kuwaiti version there, I don't think that any of them were military.
No. They're sea cadet ones. You get them in the sea cadets, too.
But there should be... I've always felt there should be recognition for people who do things that are outstanding in the line of their duty. And one of these problems that we ran into that I always saw over there was that, especially in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, they have been issuing medals in a very strange fashion. Like, there would be guys who were grunts, who were on the front line, who were, you know, shooting and moving, and they get an Army Achievement Medal at the end of their deployment, and the guy who sat in the talk on the radio, the talk is
attacked. Got an ARCOM.
Yeah. Well, no, they would get a Bronze Star in some cases.
Well, yeah, that's something that killed me. Captain never went on the road. Your company commander, your XO never went on the road. Your first sergeant never went on the road. When I was in Iraq, I was in a transportation unit. One of the most dangerous jobs over there was driving the semi. Wasn't what I was trained for originally, but I got OJT'd into it. And
you mean voluntold?
Basically, I got called up as a communications sergeant, and they said, "Well, you know where the gas is, you know where the brake is. Can you run that clutch? Can you go forward, backwards? You're now a truck driver."
Congratulations!
And you will be going over to Iraq to perform this duty. But now I lost my train of thought.
Awards. We're talking about awards and
The CO never went out. The XO never went out. My E7 at the time never went out on the road. Each one of those sons of bitches got a Bronze Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I never understood that. I was told that it was because it takes a lot to be a platoon sergeant, the stresses, everything else, always worried about your soldiers going out on the road and getting killed. Well, if you're that worried about it, be a leader and come out on the road with us instead of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they all got Bronze Stars.
Yeah, the way they're issuing awards is just, it's, okay, like I remember one time we had General Petraeus came to visit our unit. And he was issuing coins to the soldiers and telling us how proud he was because we had captured, I believe it was the number 3 high value target in Iraq at the time. And so he was telling us how proud he was of the unit and all that stuff. And all the guys on the patrol, including the officer in charge of the patrol, got an ARCOM for that mission.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the top commander at the time received a Bronze Star with the device for his role in the operation. A V device is issued specifically for valor in combat. He wasn't involved in the combat at all in that operation, but he received his Bronze Star with V device, and we got ARCOMs, commendation medals for that. And again, like I said, I didn't do what I did for the medals. I know you guys didn't do what you did for the medals, but there's something fundamentally broken about that process. But anyway, yeah, back to the Staff Sergeant Balavia. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but this man did something truly heroic. And while it's a shame that all they did was give him a Silver Star at the time, I think it's just and proper that that was finally upgraded to a Medal of Honor. And,
yeah.
You know,
and those of you that don't know about Iraq or had the pleasure of accepting an invitation to go over there, the roads, the pathways going down roads and stuff between buildings are like a one-way street, but you got two-way traffic going down. I mean, this is how close stuff is. A little more in depth into what Jeff was saying about what this recipient did. I mean, he went into a building capped two guys, got a wounded guy, got him out of there, and then went back into the building to take care of a wounded enemy, took him out, and then wounded another guy. So he not only went in the building, killed two guys, wounded a guy, took one of his wounded out, he went back into the building to take care of the wounded enemy, capped the guy, and then capped the wounded guy. So he actually went in there twice in the building.
Yeah. And all of this so that his squad, who was pinned down at the time, wouldn't face their fire. I mean, that's the key.
His squad was trying, the guys that were outside were trying to get a Bradley fighting vehicle in there, and the way the buildings and stuff were, they couldn't get it in there, and where they got the vehicle positioned, it didn't have an effective range.
Right.
So they couldn't do anything, and it was a great job that this individual did. And that's why he received the medal.
Yep.
And we highlight, like the news highlighted, and we've highlighted that he's the only living recipient of
the medal. He is the only living recipient of
And that should, I guess, that should put some things in perspective, because usually, and even in the military, we talk about it, like when you're active, in order to win the Medal of Honor, 9 times out of 10, you got to die.
Yeah.
In order to do that. So it is really impressive what he did, and I'm very happy that they upgraded his award, although I know that he's got scars that medal will never cover from that time in. But yeah, moving on. So let's talk about some a policy thing that happened. And I'm really torn on this one because I'm not sure where I stand on it. But so President Trump just recently issued an executive order allowing ROTC graduates, essentially. So anyone from the military academies or from college who goes to the ROTC program, to defer their mandatory active duty service in order to play professional sports.
Which is 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, everybody, when they go into service, does an initial 8-year term.
Right.
Whether you do 6 years active, 2 years inactive, 3 years active, 4 years inactive, that's why we don't have a draft.
So the part of me that's torn on this is, so the idea is that if you're going through ROTC or through a military academy, that you're going to, the government is going to pay for that. The taxpayers are going to pay for your college degree, and in return, you give active service to the military.
Yeah.
So part of me is a little upset about that kind of order, because it, you know, I'm paying for you to go to college so you can go play professional sports. And who's to say that, as you know, if you're playing pro football or something, you're not going to get injured so badly that you can't serve when your pro sports time is open.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the biggest problem.
Right. But on the other hand, one of the things that we're all enlisted guys here, so we can all identify with this. One of the things we bitch about the most is these young punk officers who come in thinking they know everything but have no life experience. And maybe this would give them a chance to have a little more life experience. So what do you guys think?
I'm totally with you on that, on the whole them going and playing sports and then possibly getting injured. And, you know, he came in as an infantry. He's going to be an infantry officer, paratrooper. Now he can't jump out of a fucking plane. Now he can't march 2 miles.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that I'm totally on with that.
Yeah.
You're saying that it's wrong.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we paid for your college.
Right.
At least six years.
Right. Right.
And not to mention the money that it costs to train you.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs a certain amount of money to train each soldier in basic training, but it costs different varying amounts depending on what you're into, intelligence, communications, computers, infantry. And, you know, people look at infantry and go, anybody can shoot a weapon. No. Well, bullshit. There's some high-tech weapons out there the infantry are shooting, and some of the infantry jobs cost a hell of a lot more than some of the computer jobs that we got that we're teaching.
Being able to safely get from point A to point B while someone's shooting at you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know? But yeah, so I
don't know how many people can't do land nav.
To me, this was a weird order to make. It doesn't make sense. And obviously, we'll follow it and see where it goes. It might get turned down by Congress, or maybe the DoD will have a say in it. But
Jay Huffing can't do land nav. He's in the Navy.
No, but I can do sexting.
He can do water naps.
I can do sex too. Ask my wife.
When I meet her, I will.
Hey, one story that's on here that I saw that didn't make it in the news. Woman puts on swimsuit upside down and accidentally exposes herself. Why aren't we talking about that news story? I'm looking at it right here.
Is she a vet?
If she is, she might be in deep shit from UCMJ.
Alright, so the next story, or the last story I want to talk about here, finally, after decades, the so-called Vietnam-era Blue Water Vet benefits were approved by Congress and signed into law by the President yesterday. So, for those of you who are not familiar with this, the Vietnam vets who are in the Navy, specifically, have been fighting for their benefits for decades. Because the VA had a different set of standards for vets who were serving on a ship versus vets who were boots on the ground.
They didn't recognize them as being in the actual theater of operations.
Exactly.
And so they've been fighting for these benefits, like I said, for decades. I believe the first lawsuit came out 3 years after the Vietnam War ended. And the VA just hasn't been recognizing them. They haven't been processing them correctly. They had a totally different set of standards to prove their disability, so on and so forth. So to replace that officer playing professional sports thing with some good news to those Navy vets from the Vietnam era who are finally going to get their benefits, it's estimated to be $1.1 billion in back pay that these sailors are going to receive. So let's talk. Yes, sir.
Well, basically, well, since I was Navy, the whole thing is it's the Agent Orange exposure is where the Deepwater Navy bill came into play, because you had people that were loading the planes up with the Agent Orange,
right?
And they weren't, and since they weren't in the field of where they were spraying it at, the VA's like, well, you weren't in combat. Yeah, you were. Yeah, they were. They were in a supportive role.
So, right, they were getting gas just like everybody else. Right?
Exactly.
So, well, they were back then. They didn't have the protective gear that they do now. And I mean, they're putting those rounds on. But I had a problem when I was in. I fried my nuts when I was in, and that's because I didn't have the proper protective gear. I came across Iraqis that were surrendering, and they had 155. Well, they weren't 155 howitzers, but they were the equivalent, the Russian equivalent, those rounds equivalent to a 155. But they were Sabo rounds, and what was happening is they were sitting in the desert, depleted uranium.
Wow.
They were depleting, and I fried my nuts out there. I can't have children. They gave me hell about that, but I'm sure that's the same situation that these Navy guys, they're loading these rounds, unloading these rounds, these planes are flying through the shit and coming back and bringing it to the ship.
They didn't have the same safety standards.
No, absolutely. Well, yeah. Apparently, they still don't.
Right. Well, and it always makes me happy when I see stories like this, because it means that at least somewhere somebody is paying attention, and they're working forward on it, and they're trying to get these. You know, we had the same issue with Afghanistan and the burn pits and the burning latrine waste and things like that, leading to health problems that we're still fighting that battle in Congress. But you know, congratulations and I'm sorry to all the Vietnam era Navy vets who did their time over there, served their country and did the job, did it well, and have been fighting this long. I mean, it's about time. Wow.
I'm happy they got it.
Yep.
Today it kind of pisses me off sometimes to find out that I got my benefits and there's still
fighting.
There's still Vietnam vets that are still out on the streets as street people.
Yep.
I can't fucking stand that.
Neither can I.
Everybody always asks me, Dwayne, why'd you buy such a big house? I got a house that's over 7,000 square feet. It's got 6 bedrooms, 4 baths. What the hell did you buy that big a house for? At the time, I was going to open it up and let vets stay here, homeless vets and whatnot, try to maybe get a subsidy for the county or whatever to try to help out Yeah, everybody looks and says, you know, you Satanists are Satanists, you know, you're bad people, blah, 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 bullshit. A lot of the people around here know who I am, what I'm into, quote unquote, but yet know that I'm a good guy.
And that's, you know, that's a fundamental misunderstanding.
That's what we want to put out here as well.
It's a fundamental misunderstanding on the part of non-Satanists who think that selfishness somehow means that we can't help people.
Right.
But of course we're helping. We help people that we care about. We're all vets, and we care about vets, and we're going to help them.
We help those that are deserving of it.
Right. Exactly.
Instead of wasting on people who don't deserve it and who won't appreciate it or do good with what's being given to them.
Right. Yeah, and there's, I mean, vets, and generally, don't get me wrong, not every veteran you're going to run across is the best person in the world.
Oh, absolutely not.
But if anyone knows how to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, it's vets. Sometimes they just need a helping. And that's what we're here to do. That's why we created the Infernal Legion, and that's why we're rocking and rolling with this. So,
Hey, since the website's gone up, I don't want to cut you off, Jeff. If I am, I apologize. Since the website's gone up, I've had 3 vets contact me already. Through Facebook Messenger, I've talked 2 of them through their disability application. I've talked to them on the phone. I have a 3rd guy that really didn't want to talk on the phone because he didn't know if he wanted to do that yet. But I did a bunch of typing to him and telling him what to do. And I'll tell you guys, I'm here to help. I'll give you my phone number, whatever I need to do. I've given my phone number to a bunch of other people in the Satanic area. Mostly everybody has the damn thing. You need help, get a hold of me. This is no bullshit. I spent 7 years living in a car, living on people's good graces, living on the streets. I still had my power of attorney set up for my mother for when I was in Iraq, so that if I kicked the bucket, she could have access to everything she needed to. And when I came back and was living on the streets, my mother still had access to shit. So she'd send me $100 every couple weeks, every month, you know, whatever, get off the streets for a few days, go eat, go wash your ass, sleep in a bed. I went to my account one day, and like I say, this is hard for people to believe, but I've got documentation. I don't need to prove myself to anybody. If I need to prove myself to you, screw you, you know? But 7 years living like that, I went to my account one day, hoping Mom sent me some money because I was particularly hungry and particularly stinky. I opened up my ATM account, and I about shit myself. There was $267,000 and some change in that account. That was back pay, retroactive pay, cost of living, everything for 7 years. And if you look at that, that's only about $36,000, $37,000 a year. That ain't a lot of money.
No.
But it was all tax-free. And I'm telling you, you start your process, you stick with it. They want you at an appointment, you go to the fucking appointment. They want a piece of paper signed, sign the paper. You stick with it, you stick with your benefit stuff, you will get through it. And once you get through the door, you need 10% through the door, you start getting eligible for everything else. Voc rehab, everything.
Yeah, there are a lot of programs.
There are so many programs here that I could help get you involved in and get you rolling with. If you're struggling, get a hold of me and I will help you out.
Yeah, and I think that brings us to a good place to close. That's the reason why we started this organization, is so that we can reach out to each other, help each other out, and hang out and chat and share stupid memes with each other and whatever.
Right.
But you know, it's the 2 things that everyone in this organization has in common is we're all Satanists and we're all veterans. And that's the key, right?
Yep.
We got to look out for each other.
Yep.
So if you are interested in the Infernal Legion, if you're a veteran or you know a veteran who could use some help, and we're helping all veterans, whether they're Satanists or not. You can only be a member of the Infernal Legion if you're a Satanist, but we're here for all the vets. You can find us at our brand new shiny website set up by the wonderful Jeff Ivins, Inferno, InfernoLegion.org. You can find us on Facebook at Inferno Legion. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on the Undercroft. Props to Magister Frost for bringing that back. We are on MeWe. We're all over the place. All you got to do is look for the Infernal Legion and don't click on the death metal band's website. That's yeah. It. But I got to say, I think we're doing some great things here, gentlemen. I hope it only gets better. We will be back next month. But until then, happy Independence Day to everybody out there. And until we can talk about the Infernal Legion next time, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
I stood there going, "Be gone, Satan!"
RadioFreeSatan.com.